the Point Radio.
It's Mike Brock. Taking a successful fantasy property and moving it over to another medium can always be a little risky, especially for the fans. We talk more to the folks behind Vampire Academy about what their followers can expect on the big screen, plus DC's Justice League War. Is it RJLA or something different? Let's get to the point.
This is the Point. The Point Radio. Get the Point.
DC's newest direct-to-DVD release, Justice League War, is based on the New 52 version of the JLA, but there are some differences. What are they? Well, we asked director Jay Olivia.
It's not a direct adaptation like I've done with Dark Knight Returns. It's loosely adapted from what Jim Lee and Geoff Johns had done in the original, I think, issues 1-6. So there are moments that are from the comic, but there's other things that we've kind of changed a little bit, elaborated on. You know, of course, you know, we've added Shazam into the mix. But overall, I think it's one of the things where fans who have read the comic will enjoy the film, and fans who've never read the comic might be interested to go back and read the actual original source material.
There's a new front man stepping in for Bruce Timm is James Tucker, who's in charge of keeping the direct DC features on track.
Well, it was a chance to do something new. I mean, they asked me when Bruce decided to focus on Green Lantern and do some other projects, and they asked me to take over. I didn't know this is what we were going to be doing, so that kind of came after the fact. But I was happy that was the direction we were taking, because it was totally different from what Bruce and those guys had done before. And I like world building and stuff, so it's kind of a nice opportunity to have continuity amongst movies, between the movies, and yet Son of Batman will feel totally different than Justice League. So but it's kind of like comics in a way, where they're connected but not connected, you know, like Justice League comics totally different from Batman comics, yet Batman's in both.
James admits that in Justice League War, it is a little different from what we saw in the comics.
Yeah, I mean, I worked on Justice League with Bruce in Justice League Unlimited, and I didn't want to go back and do exactly that. But when I read the New 52 Justice League, I could see they were trying to kind of break down the Justice League and not make it something where you instantly knew what to expect. So we kind of took that aspect of it and ran with it and kind of pushed everyone's personalities into different areas. So if the fans are expecting pretty much a carbon copy of the TV series, they're not going to get that. It's going to be a little edgier and definitely more violent, I have to say. So they're not, you know, it's not like they're, it's not Super Friends.
But overall, he's pleased with the direction.
Yeah, I love Flashpoint. I loved how Flashpoint turned out, because that was very unexpected. Like, even to me, we didn't really know if we were going to be able to pull it off, and you know, but the kernel of that story has a lot of heart. And this one, to me, it's like a romp. It's got a lot of action, got a lot of excitement. It feels like a big blockbuster summer movie, within our budget. So it's a totally different movie. Like I said, I want each movie to feel like it's its own genre of movie. They're not all of the same, you know, intensity.
Recently, DC announced that future projects, including Batman and JLA features, would all exist in the same continuity. But James said that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to look alike.
Because the Batman and the Son of Batman and Justice League are in the same universe, they will share the same art style.
Oh, cool.
But that doesn't mean they'll look just alike. So it's subtle. There's things with color we do. The BG style will be slightly different. Our Batman will be definitely noirish, as opposed to Justice League, which is a lot cleaner and more like a summer blockbuster, you know.
As in the past, Andrea Romano is in charge of choosing the actors involved with the project. And she still takes that job very seriously.
You know, if they grew up reading the comic books, in their head they heard a voice. And I'm supposed to find that voice that makes everybody happy. And so it's a very hard responsibility, and I take it seriously. I figure if I can please myself, because I'm very, you know, critical of that, that if I do a good job and I'm satisfied, that hopefully the majority of the fans will.
So as far as a wish list of future projects, Jay Olivia has a few.
I'd love to do a Gotham by Gaslight. One of the movies that I want to do is an Arkham Asylum one, but I want to do it's basically Batman Game of Death, where it's Batman, the asylum's taken over by the inmates, and Batman's fighting his rogues gallery all the way up to Joker. Like, it's like the video game, but to me, I would just do it. To me, that would be pretty fun.
Catch Justice League War, available on Blu-ray and on video on demand.
The Point Radio.
As always, here we go with the latest in pop culture. Add another piece to the cast of Avengers Age of Ultron. Actor Paul Bettany will be the Vision in that film. Now, Bettany is not a stranger to Marvel films. He's been the voice of Jarvis in the Iron Man movies. But the real speculation here is how this version of the Vision will play out with Ultron and whether or not there'll be the inclusion of the Hank Pym character. And then another question on top of that, will it be the same Hank Pym that is scheduled to be in the Ant-Man film, a part there to be played by actor Michael Douglas? By the end of the weekend, we may have a new player when it comes to the biggest animated films on the big screen. Right now, it looks like the Lego movie is poised to be the second biggest animated film as far as advanced ticket sales go, only surpassed by Toy Story 3 a couple of years ago. Of course, we'll find out more in the next couple of days as the box office numbers come in. The Lego movie opens in theaters this weekend. It's official now. AMC will be the home of the new Preacher series. It'll be written and produced by Seth Rogen, but at this point in time, it's reported that Rogen will not appear in front of the camera in the show. Rogen will be teamed with his writing partner, Evan Goldberg, who also worked with him on Superbad, Pineapple Express, and last summer's This Is the End. Even better news is the announcement of Steve Catlin as showrunner. Catlin, most recently known as the showrunner for Breaking Bad. It's always interesting to look at the list of books that are selling on Amazon and in bookstores. Outside of the usual comic store graphic novel sales reports we give you every couple of weeks, the top 10 best-selling graphic novels in this arena include a lot of anime, starting at number 10 with Naruto Volume 63. At number 9, Monster Musume Volume 2. Attack on Titan Volume 2 is at number 8. Batman Volume 3, Death of the Family from DC at number 7. A pair of Walking Dead books next. Walking Dead Compendium number 2 is at number 6. At number 5, the first volume of that series. And at number 4, Walking Dead Volume 19. Number 3, best-selling graphic novel, Attack on Titan Volume 1. Attack on Titan Volume 10 holds the number 2 spot. And the number 1 bestseller is Naruto Volume 64 from Viz. In a move that obviously is the start of something, Hulu will include a YouTube original from the Geek & Sundry channel on their network. It's a new series called Caper about three immortals and their human roommate. There'll be 9 episodes that are already appearing on YouTube. The first 2 will be available, and then more will follow in the weeks after that. There's also talk that a lot more of the Geek & Sundry material will appear on YouTube in the weeks to come. After 8 seasons, Psych is wrapping it up on the USA Network at the end of the current run of episodes. The finale will be coming in a few weeks, and it'll be followed by a special live Q&A with the cast right after that last episode. The finale airs on March 26th on USA. However, there are talks that the characters from the show may continue in another venue to be announced later in the year. Evangeline Lilly has been added to the cast of the Marvel Ant-Man movie, although we're not sure exactly what character she's playing. It probably won't be Janet Van Dyne, and more than likely will be some, again, love interest for Paul Rudd's character. That feeling's reinforced with the fact that Michael Douglas will be playing some version of Hank Pym in the movie. In a week that saw DC and Marvel swap high-level editors, there's been another crossing of the street. This time in the talent department, John Romita Jr. surprisingly will be moving to DC. And when he's there, he'll be drawing the ongoing Superman title beginning sometime over the summer. When that change takes place, by the way, Jeff Johns will be moving in as a regular writer on the Superman title. The Point! Vampire Academy is a best-selling series of young adult paranormal romance novels done by author Rochelle Mead. Rochelle came to the set of the new film based on her books, and I asked the cast members what that was like. Actress Lucy Fry.
I remember the first thing that I asked was what it was like to see, like, she, you know, dreamed up all herself, and to see your imagination made physical and real. And she said that what the main difference was is that everything was much grander. The book going into a more kind of Hollywood world, I guess, everything becomes like, characters are all looking really beautiful, and the costumes are all amazing, and the school was huge and just amazing, like decadent, is that the word for it? And yeah, she just was really amazed to see everything so glorious, that it was so polished and beautiful, and I think that she was quite, you know, overwhelmed on her day on set to see that everything had come to life and see Rose and Lissa and Mia and Dom and everyone standing in front of her.
Each of the cast has worked hard to interpret the characters in a way that'll be familiar to the fans, but bring life to them as well. Actor Dominic Sherwood, who plays Christian.
Actually, I feel a kind of similar sort of thing towards Christian in a weird way that he has his kind of sarcasm and he has his, like, sardonic nature that is very much a mask for kind of the pain that he's feeling, for how degraded he was in school and all of the things that happened with his parents and so on. I feel it's a similar sort of thing with Mia and with her character, with Sammy and her character, that it is one of those things that's like, when you're a teenager, you do have to put up certain walls that kind of defend you from, like, what can be very mean-spirited and very effective when you're young and you're growing. So I admire the fact that he kind of finds Lissa and a kindred spirit in Lissa and manages to kind of overcome it and open up for the first time.
I talked to pretty much the whole cast about any changes between the book and the film that fans have to get ready for.
I feel like there aren't any changes where, like, the audience who have read the book are going to be like, man, why have they done that? Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like and even Rochelle said herself, like, she was very happy that the story has stayed very close to the novel. So I'd like to think we've kept close enough that people aren't going to be outraged with what we've done.
Yeah, of course there's lots of little things that are left out and little things that are added for it to make sense in a movie format, which, you know, people are going to feel hard to accept that because it's going to be a bit different. But like we said before, hopefully people will open up and realize that it's going to be different to be a movie. So
yeah, our writer, yeah, Dan Waters is just, I mean, he wrote Heathers. He's phenomenal writer.
And hilarious.
And yeah, and he,
and
I think,
annoying.
Just did, no,
he talks about me like that's why I had to talk about him.
He did the just greatest job of incorporating, you know, as much as he could from the book and also putting sort of his own spin on it with being, you know, just a writer of something like Heathers and really understanding what it is to be in that, you know, teenage world.
So with 6 Vampire Academy books out there so far, there's a lot of story to tell. And Dom said he's more than ready to jump into a sequel anytime.
Yeah. It's a very difficult thing when we've put so much work and so much...
You don't want to have any expectations.
Yeah, but for me, it's really difficult to not be like, oh, I know what Christian does in number 2. Like, I know what's, like, I know what happens. It's really cool. But then it's difficult for us to be like, let's just keep it on a level until we know exactly what's going on. And we don't want to kind of get our hopes up. But, you know, it's one day at a time for me personally. Like, and then hopefully people kind of enjoy what we did. And we can be like, right, number 2, let's do it. Let's move on.
Of course, there are plenty of comparisons between Vampire Academy and Twilight. And should the film get that kind of recognition, is the cast ready for it? I talked to Zoe Deutsch and, of course, Dominic Sherwood.
If that's the case, then that means this movie was a big success and people enjoyed it. It
right.
Made people feel things and they spent their money well. You know, they
right.
enjoyed what they saw. They enjoyed the art. And therefore, we've accomplished what we wanted to, you know? So in that sense, if I can look at it from that perspective, opposed to the word fame or celebrity or whatever blanket you put that situation under, I think it's a little bit easier to deal with.
Yeah, it would be like a kind of semblance of success. Like, we set out to do this job and we're obviously all aiming to get the same result. And if that were to happen, if we were lucky enough for people to kind of take it on as well as that, then that to us would be like, pat on the back, guys, you did it.
Vampire Academy goes from novel to big screen in theaters right now. That does it for right now, but when we're back, we'll be talking with the folks at Starcross, the new CW series that hopes to succeed where tomorrow people just might not have. In the meantime, plenty of pop culture for you 24/7 at Get The Point Radio. Listen free, laptop or desktop at GetThePointRadio.com or on any mobile device, Android or Apple, with the app iNet Radio. Get that in the App Store or more details at iNetRadio.com. Our podcast is in the iTunes podcast directory and on websites like ComicMix.com and MichaelDavisWorld.com. And keep in touch on social media under The Point Radio on Facebook and on Twitter. See you in a few days. Get the-